Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich in Christ. This show is like not any, probably none other that you're going to hear on as far as Christian media is concerned, because I deal specifically with the things that you're dealing with in your real life, which is why the title is what it is. There's a lot of different shows out there, and I'm not saying anything about any of them, but I am saying that people are hurting today. People are dealing with loss and suffering. There are broken people out there. The economy is hurting people. People are losing their homes. People are losing jobs. And these believers who now are in a position where they have to trust God because there's nothing else are wavering, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to trust God because the leadership in the corporate church has not themselves learned how to trust God, and so they can't teach what they don't know. And if that sounds harsh, well, that's the truth. The truth is the church today is pretty much dead and of no effect in our society. And the leaders, the so-called leaders, even the grace teachers that are out there today and sharing the message of what they call grace, it may be for you, but it doesn't seem to be for themselves. And what I mean by that is the definition of a leader is really somebody who comes out and leads by example, not just by talking about what leadership is or talking about what it is that the people that are following them need to do, but by coming out themselves and going on the front lines and opening themselves up and laying themselves out before the people who are following them and letting them know they're just as human and just as prone to failure and weakness as the people that they're following. But today, instead, we have people who are all about promoting themselves and promoting their ministry, and their whole focus is all about how large their ministry can be and how many people they can reach. Well, I was going down that same path, and I desired it my whole life. I've been on this journey now for 33 years, and I desired that ministry view that I just shared with you, that ministry vision that I just shared with you for years and years and years. I mean, 20, 30 years I desired that and thought that was what ministry was. And this last summer I had the opportunity to go out to the West Coast and the East Coast and to share with several groups and churches about the message of the cross and the truth of who we are in Christ. And the fact that we're loved unconditionally, and there's nothing we can do, there's nothing that we can do to cause God to love us or accept us any more than He already does. And I was sharing that message out west in California. I was staying with my stepdaughter Tammy, because we were out there also helping her with her wedding. And Linda and I went to McDonald's one day, and we were sitting in the parking lot. I think we went for a cup of coffee or something after we were shopping at Walmart, and we were sitting in the parking lot, and this young girl came up to the window asking for money. And I saw her and her this guy scrambling, just, you know, really in a panic, trying to get, you know, help from people. People were shutting them down one after the other. And they came to us and they asked if we could just give anything because they were going to get kicked out of their hotel room at 11 o'clock. And she was, you know, by looking at her, she was, you know, at least 8 months pregnant, if not more. And what had happened is this young couple had come down from Yakima, Washington, and they believed this guy about a job, and they believed this other guy about an apartment, and they moved their stuff in, and they got evicted. The job never panned out, and so they're sitting in the parking lot in Visalia, California, stranded. She's 8 months pregnant, and they're trying to find enough money to scrape up so they can stay another night in their hotel room before the 11 o'clock time when you've got to check out, the checkout time. So we gave him a couple pennies. We gave him, like, you know, some change that I had in one of my cup holders, and then, you know, we walked away, and then Linda said, you know, well, you know, I've got a couple more dollars. So we called him over to the window. We gave him a couple more, and we had our ministry partner, Joan, on the phone, and you know, Joan said, well, why don't we just put him up for the night? And so I called him over, and I called her over, and make a long story short, we got them both in the van. We drove them over to their little hotel room. It was nothing. It was just a little shabby place, and we walked in with them, and before we walked in, I gave the guy a copy of my book, and he had to make a quick trip to the bathroom. And so we brought the girl into the hotel, and while we were sitting there, you know, behind the bulletproof glass, waiting to pay for her room, the Spirit of the Lord just said to me, pay for 3 days, not just one, give them three. So we paid for 3 days for a hotel room. And she was so excited. It was just unbelievable. You know, it was like you'd given her a diamond. And we walked out, and the guy came out of the bathroom, and she told him, and he was excited, And right there, God showed me what ministry was all about. You know, Jesus talks about inviting them to the wedding feast. And if they don't come, go out into the highways and the byways and bring them in, because people have to come. Somebody has to come. And I've been on Facebook for about 4 years, coming up in February, inviting people to come in. And a lot have. More haven't. Because it's all about the losing to gain life. It's all about whether I'm going to lose my life to gain his, or I'm going to continue to preserve this perception of my life. And so our whole idea of ministry has been turned on its ear, and now ministry to us has nothing to do with gatherings. It has nothing to do with marketing books. It has nothing to do with, I went to a life coaching thing last year, a program where I learned to be a life coach. It has nothing to do with making money life coaching. It has to do with freely receiving and freely giving whatever God has put in front of us, period. And so now we give away the book for free to anybody who requests it around the world. We pay the postage. We pay for the book. All we want to do is get this book in your hands, not because, you know, of anything that I've done, but God wrote this book through me. He used the 30 years of my life of brokenness and loss and pain and suffering and rejection and misunderstanding and all of the things that human beings go through, the lost jobs, the lost homes, the lost health, the broken relationships, the estrangement from my children. He used all that to put together in this 31-day devotional, and we want to get it to you for free. And if we had any other ministry materials, those would be free too. And if anybody wants to be coached on where to go in their relationship with Christ, if they're struggling with who they are and where they are, I'll coach you for free too. You won't find that anywhere out there. And the reason we're doing this is because we know that God provides for us, period. We don't look to man. We don't advertise. We don't promote. We don't ask for anything. We trust Christ in us as our provider, period. And how did that happen? That happened because God decided over the course of time to change the perception of himself. Because so many people see God as a cruel taskmaster. So many people see God as a child abuser. So many people are asking God questions. God, why? God, when? God, when? Where is this going to happen? Why is this going to happen? I've asked those questions. I still ask those questions because I'm human. because I deal with my humanity on a moment-by-moment basis, just like you guys do. Exactly. There's nothing different from me to you. The only thing different from me to you is that over the years, God has revealed himself to me in a way that you're not hearing about in any Christian media. And that has become an answer to a prayer that I prayed way back in 1983. Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ. He's been answering that prayer for 30 years. And so many people suffer with the perception of who God is, and so they can't step out and trust him. And why is that? Because they have a separated view of who God is. They think God is the man upstairs. They think God is the one that you cry out to who lives in heaven, and if he's not too busy, he'll come and assist you in your plan and bless you, because that's all God is about, is blessing you, because it's all about you. Your life is all about you. And so you have to be blessed, and you have to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that's not what Christianity is about at all. That's nothing to do with real Christianity. The real life of God is that we are the container, the branch, temple. We're the vessel. We're the dwelling place of God. We're what's contained. We're not what's contained in the container. We're the container. John 15:5 says that I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But your leaders are telling you to go out and live for God. Read your Bible and do good, tithe, and do all this stuff. And if you do it, and you do it the right way, when you walk in perfect behavior, and then God will bless you. Well, that sounds more like a deal, a marketing deal, than it does the God of all grace. The God of all grace loves us right here, right where we're at. Exactly. He couldn't love us anymore. The God of all grace is not looking at our sin, because if he is, what was the purpose of the cross? As far as the God of all grace is concerned, there is no more sin. Because sin, the root word of sin is separation. Separation is sin. It's seeing anything but God. It's seeing more than God. It's believing that there's something in addition to him, where there's some kind of life, and there is no life except in the life of Christ, period. I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus said. There's no other way, there's no other truth, and there's no other life except Christ. And this life is spent learning that. That's what the last 33 years of my life has been, is wading through the performance-based, dead-letter lie that is being spouted on just about every church, every street corner where there's a church in America that says you have to straighten up and fly right, or God really doesn't want anything to do with you, and you really are not a part of his plan. Well, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." And the Christians have used that in their prosperity gospel for years, because it's all about prosperity. But the prospering of God has nothing to do with money. It has to do with the life of his son. It has to do with Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the prosperity of God. The prosperity of God is his son, period. That's it. And in fact, Jeremiah has to go on and he has to add this little phrase, not to harm you. Well, why would he put that in there if God is all about prospering me and making me healthy, and he's the God of love, 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 love? You know, he's the mamby-pamby, tiptoe through the tulips kind of love God, where he's not going to allow you to stub your toe. Oh, God, no. You don't want to stub your toe. You don't want to have any resistance in your life. You don't want to have a downward push that causes the upward lift. You want to live in a vacuum. You want to live in the love vacuum of God. Well, there is no such thing. No greater love has a man than to lay down his life for his friend. And Jesus calls us his friend. That's what real Christianity is. It's the seed, it's the grain of wheat that's planted in the ground, and it dies, and it literally falls apart. It takes on a new form. It takes on a new identity. And that seed that was all about the seed now becomes something that's all about what's inside the seed. That's real Christianity. Anything else is a lie. And if you're following somebody who's not talking about this stuff and is not sharing about Christ and Him crucified, we preach Christ and Him crucified. Foolishness to Jews and Gentiles, but to us the power of God and the wisdom of God. I just wrote that this morning in a post. So it's all about perception. And you know, there was another guy who had a real poor perception of God. And if you get my book, which is free of charge, by the way, it's not a pamphlet, it's not an e-book, it's not a mini-book, it's a full book, it's 120-something pages, it's a 31-day devotional, and each devotional has a teaching in it that could change your life. And if you don't believe me, ask Heidi from the UK, who just contacted me last week and said, Rich, if it wasn't for your book, my 15-year-old daughter wouldn't have a mother right now. Because she was going to kill herself before she picked it up. God wrote the book. He just used me to put it down on paper. So there is this young man who had a real wrong perception of God. His name is Mephibosheth. It's in 2 Samuel. Now, Jonathan and David had made a covenant with one another, a covenant of love, a covenant like a marriage between a man and a woman. In fact, it even says that. David loved Jonathan, and Jonathan loved David. Jonathan was Saul's son. Saul was the king. Jonathan was the prince. David, in this story, is Saul's archenemy. And they make a covenant with one another, Jonathan and David. This is serious stuff. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Well, listen to what a covenant is. A covenant is where you love somebody to the point where you literally exchange your life for their life. You give up your life. You lay down your life. It's no longer your life, it's their life. And their life is no longer their life, it's your life. So all of your assets and debts become all of their assets and debts. Your enemies become their enemies, and vice versa. So Jonathan and David made this covenant. And what happened is Jonathan and Saul, the prince and the king, ended up dying in battle. And at the sound of this, the nursemaid of this little boy named Mephibosheth, at the sound of the fact that Jonathan and Saul were killed in battle, Jonathan's son, his name was Mephibosheth, well, his nursemaid picked him up and started running because she now knew that David was going to have open season on everybody that was a part of Saul's household because David and Saul were arch enemies. And as she's picked up this little boy and she starts running, she drops him and breaks his legs. And some say that he was paralyzed from the waist down. And now he can't walk. So the nurse picks him up and takes him to a place called Lodibar. Look it up, Lodibar, a place of no pasture, barrenness, a wasteland. Now fast forward this picture, okay? Now, the nurse has told David his whole life that I mean, has told Mephibosheth his whole life that David is a bad man. And it was because of David that he's paralyzed. Because if it wasn't for us running from David, then you would have both your legs. You'd be walking. You'd be able to make a living. You'd be able to be a self-made man and take care of yourself, Mephibosheth, if it wasn't for this cruel man, David. And so David one day, after the death of Jonathan and Saul, remembered the covenant with Jonathan. He didn't remember it. The Holy Spirit brought it to his mind. Because the natural mind doesn't have anything to do with the Spirit of God, with the things of God. And so the Spirit of God brought this to David's mind. And David said, is there anyone left of the house of Jonathan and Saul that I can show kindness to? That on behalf of my covenant brother Jonathan. And David's servant whose name is Ziba says, well, there's one, his name is Mephibosheth, and he's living in Lodibar. And all of his life, Mephibosheth believes that David is going to kill him because he believes David killed his father and his grandfather. And so now David is on the throne. David is king. It's no longer his grandfather. It's his archenemy, David. And he hears that David is looking for him. This is in the first chapter of my book, Day One. It's titled A Dead Dog. And the reason it's titled A Dead Dog is because before David can even get there, Mephibosheth considers himself dead. And Mephibosheth has this picture of David, of this horrendous person, this person that would do this, that now because of you, David, I can't even make a living. I'm begging for my food. I live in this place of barrenness, this wasteland, and I have nothing because of you, David. Absolutely nothing. And David is going there to show him kindness. Does that sound familiar? That's exactly what most of the Christian people believe about God. Because the trials and the tribulations go directly against the prosperity gospel of Jesus for me, that you've been fed for all of your life. And so you think if you go through any kind of trials or tribulations or any kind of trauma, that it must be a God who doesn't love you. And that's exactly why this story is in this book. And as David is coming to Mephibosheth, he says, what do you want with a dead dog like me? He already considered himself dead. He considered himself a dog. He didn't have any value or worth because his nurse had pumped into him his whole life that David was this cruel man. And you know what? We've had it pumped into us too. And you know what the beautiful picture is in this whole story? Is that Jonathan, the prince, dies, which initiates the covenant search for Mephibosheth. Without the death of Jonathan, there's no reason to go looking for Mephibosheth. Jonathan is the prince. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and he died. And it initiated the search for the father, David, a representation of the Father, to go and look for the covenant sons. But religion has told you your whole life that David, that God, the Father, is like the perception that Mephibosheth had towards David, that he's a cruel taskmaster, that he's coming to kill you, that he wants nothing to do with you, that he hasn't got any time for you, that he's distant and impersonal and unapproachable. And David says to Mephibosheth, what are you talking about? I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here because I heard about you. And because you're the son of my covenant brother Jonathan, I'm here to take care of you for the rest of your life. And not only that, all of what your grandfather had and what your father had, that's all yours now. That's part of the covenant, Mephibosheth. that you have all things pertaining to life and godliness. You don't have to go searching for anything anymore because it's all in me. Well, I've been searching for you, and you've been hiding from me in pain and suffering and barrenness and this wasteland called Lodibar. Because you believed the lie that I don't love you exactly as you are. And you know, Mephibosheth couldn't walk. And God comes to us as the picture of David. God comes to us, and we can't walk this Christian walk. We were never meant to walk this Christian walk. He's walking it through us. And he sets us up to the king's table where we can eat forever without striving and stressing and wondering if there's ever going to be enough. And this is what Rich in Christ Ministries is all about. It's all about blowing that perception of a performance-based, cruel taskmaster, a God who somehow is waiting for you to fall and to fail, and that is rejoicing over that and showing you that your weakness is your greatest asset. And it's the only place where God is able to come in and fill you with his own life. Otherwise, you've got to settle for that natural life, that natural life that's vacillating, and you don't have a clue as to what is going on from day to day. That's the whole purpose of the trial and the tribulation. It's for you to come to that place of Lodibar and to believe God is chasing after you. Just like the prodigal son. Same story, different time. Just realize that. And so what are you going to do with that? Are you going to continue to believe the performance-based lie that you actually have to do something in order for the God of all grace, the one who gave up his Jonathan for you, gave up his only son, the prince who died so that you could live? He died his life so that you could live his life? Because there's only one gospel. It's the gospel of grace. I love that story. Because that story blows religion right out of the water. It blows it all to hell. And it shows us that God loves us exactly as we are, and he couldn't love us any more than he does. And he's right here in the middle of our Lodibar, right in the middle of our pain and our suffering and our barrenness, no matter what it is. If it's a sickness, if it's a broken relationship, if it's financial problems, no matter what it is, God is right here. He's in your mouth and he's in your heart. That's what Deuteronomy 30 says. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask God that you'd open the ears of these people, Lord, and their eyes so they can see who you really are, the real God who loves them in a real way. Guys, this is Rich in Christ. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'll be back next Wednesday at 9:30. Hope you can join me. God bless.